Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 29th of July, and I'm recording at 9:50 p.m., and that is British summer time here in London. Okay, now, first the short version of the audio for those in a hurry. And it's a firmer tone here in stock markets. The bull point there is we're getting some upside follow-through following yesterday's bounce. Starting with Asia, Japan, fraction higher. The big gainer was China. The Shanghai Composite Index up 3.44%, possibly putting in a higher low. Which would obviously be favorable. Now, elsewhere, not a whole lot going on, but more to the upside than downside. And Australia, 0.75 percentage point higher. India, a little higher, up to 0.5%. And that's Thailand. Thailand also 2/3 of a. Of a percentage point. Now, looking at the European indices, we had some modest strength across the boards. The strongest one is not in the EU. That's Switzerland, up 1.21%. And the best of the EU markets looks like it's probably France, up, 0.4 percentage point. The only one that's lower in here is Italy, down by 0.33 percentage point. And Wall Street, again, important here that Wall Street, it was important that they all get follow through on the upside, but I think particularly Wall Street, because we had certainly seen some deterioration and pressure on the 200-day moving averages here overall, raising that big question, you know, were we going to get the long-awaited, long-absent 10% plus correction in here? Well, a little firmer in here, so upside follow-through after yesterday's gains, a favorable sign, but it's still early days yet, and this is a choppy environment overall. What's interesting is that the Dow and the S&P 500 have the best gains. Just as I'm looking at the screen, it doesn't have all the indices, that they were all higher in here today. But the point I wanted to make is that the NASDAQ composite is lagging, whereas the S&P 500 is up 0.75 percentage point. The NASDAQ is up less than a half of a percentage point. So Apple and just a little too close to that rising 200-day moving average near that 120 level. And some of the other previously very in-form tech sectors, such as biotechnology, underperforming in here today. Now, is this just a sector rotation? Could be, but needs to be watched, because they've been big, important leaders on the upside, and there is some concern over a deterioration in breadth, market breadth on Wall Street. Okay, government bonds, yields edge a little higher here, 2.25%, still very much in the range. The VIX has calmed down a little further, 12.5. And again, looking at the dollar, a little too steady here, perhaps. 97.12, or at least as far as the Fed's concerned. But the Fed did come out with a statement and saying that the jobs picture had improved, and that this kept the door open for a rate hike later this year. And currencies, other currencies to see in here, euro a little weaker, 1.0986. Sterling quietly steady, 1.56. Australian dollar a little weaker, 0.7296. Commodities a little firmer generally. Now the agricultural commodities are mixed here. The grain and bean sector, which had good rallies earlier in the summer, but they're weaker in here again today. So they're still giving up some of those gains. Sugar, particularly white sugar, in the UK, excuse me, the UK contract did quite well in here today, up nearly 8 cents to 357. Metals, well, precious metals, they're quite oversold here and trying to steady. Palladium down less than a dollar here today at 620.7. Silver up 12 cents at 1476 and a half. And platinum up just $1.10, 987.5. So this is certainly no upper dynamics in here, but loss of a temporary loss at least of downside momentum. Gold up a dollar at 1096 and change. Crude oil slightly firmer. The Brent at up 30 cents to 53.62. And the WTI crude a little better on a relative basis here, 48.86. That's up 88 cents. Okay, so let's go back to the big picture here. Overall, or the slightly longer audio, I should really say. Now, this, of course, remains a period of seasonal underperformance. And that runs, as I've said in all these audios, really from May through October. We've certainly seen some underperformance. We've certainly seen some choppy market activity, and I expect more of the same. The question is, do we get really a bigger shakeout here overall? Now, people aren't going to fret too much about the Greek situation in the short term, at any rate. I mean, I think that's still a major problem, but the issue of whether Greece was going to stay in the euro or not, that's been resolved for at least the next few months, or so I assume. And so the focus of concerns has turned to China quite clearly, and China had a good day in here, as I mentioned earlier on. But it's going to have to seek a good deal more in terms of the upside. But I did mention, and it's only 2 days rally in here for that since the last dip for that A share, that Shanghai A share index, but it is above the low that was seen earlier this month. And if that can get a higher low and then push upwards and get a higher high, it's certainly got a way to go here to do that. That would technically be a clear improvement, and people would relax. They relaxed a little bit in here today on that improvement in China, but there's the problems remain. There are a lot of shares that aren't trading. The government's playing fast and loose with the rules here. Really, we haven't seen anything like it, not for a market the size of China here at any rate. And a lot of people particularly are skeptical, particularly in the West. And understandably so. Xi Jinping has not done his reputation any favors in here at this stage. So still a lot of uncertainty, a lot of question marks, but the key point here is that China is the focal point of concerns, and as I mentioned yesterday, it's 1,000 times more important than Greece. All right. In terms of valuations, what really looks good? Well, I like Japan because of the quantitative easing. I like Germany because of the quantitative easing. Of course, all of the European Union benefits from that, but Germany is in, well, that's the manufacturing powerhouse here. And I'm commenting on that here today in my written material. Now, again, looking at the bonds, they're taking their cue from stock markets. Main point in here, I feel, is that there's no reason that I can see why bond yields should surge over the short term. While people are nervous about stock markets, that's going to help to keep bond yields from moving up. But they are in a ranging pattern here overall. And as confidence in economic recovery improves, is that going to happen in the short term? Probably not, or not to any significant degree. Will it happen over the lengthy medium term? I'd be a little bit more optimistic about that overall. But probably we're going to see a fair amount of additional ranging by these bond yields, but staying, I think, comfortably above the lows that they've seen earlier this year. And this is part of a base building, type 3 base building process overall, and that there is upside risk in those government bond yields over the longer term as the global economy recovers. Is that going to happen in the next 3 months? No. Will it happen over the next 2 or 3 years? I think we'll probably see, well, that's my projection, we'll see some clear evidence of an improvement in global GDP growth helped by this ongoing QE. Okay, looking at the currencies, factors favoring the dollar, of course, are the U.S. technology lead and also the USA's ability to become virtually energy independent any time that we see upward pressure on the oil price. Then they can do the fracking and the refracking and bring that online again very quickly. So that does favor the dollar, I feel, over the longer term. It's ended its long bear market, and we're in this lengthy consolidation period. What I've said repeatedly in these audios is if the dollar index, which is I quoted earlier, do it again, it's at 97.12. if that were to push strongly above the 100 level, which is its high so far this year, that would be a problem. It would be a problem for the U.S., and it would be a problem for some of the countries that borrowed in U.S. dollars when it was somewhat weaker. But I think we'll probably get this mostly sideways ranging in what I've described as a lengthy consolidation. And commodities, they are certainly out of fashion, but they are certainly no inflation problem there. Deflationary concerns. Precious metals, well, I feel that they're more interesting because they're slightly better value as a consequence of the recent sharp falls. But can they go lower still? Very easily over the medium term. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.